The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want to talk to you today about destiny, fulfilling your destiny. You know, Webster tells us that destiny is a design set, something that has been pre-established for you. So if we're going to fulfill our God-given destiny, we are going to accomplish the preordained plan that God has for our life. Now, the interesting thing about predestination, if you will, as it talks about in the New Testament, it's God's plan, but we are free moral agents able to choose or reject God's plan for our life. So it's extremely important that we recognize that God has a plan for you. He has an awesome plan for your life. You are where you are. You're doing what you're doing. You were born when you were born, in the place that you were born. You're in this area for a purpose, for a reason. You're in this church today because of God's destiny for you. Now, you must embrace that destiny. You must use it for the benefit of the kingdom of God. You must use it in a way that it will not only build the kingdom of God, but it will build others. It will encourage other people. God's destiny is not necessarily for you. You do benefit by following the destiny that God has for you. But your destiny is a destiny that is meant to impact the lives of other people. That's what it's all about. You know, when we start thinking about destiny, I think we think about people who accomplish great things, build huge buildings, and take on incredible tasks for the kingdom of God. And those things are all part of it. But listen, that's not the day-to-day kingdom work. The day-to-day kingdom work is the impact that you make on the individuals that you're working with. The kingdom work that you're supposed to be doing means that you're walking in such a way as an ambassador for Christ that other people see you and say, hey, I like that. I want to be like that. You know, there's a popular song right now by Josh Wilson, I believe is his name, Dream Small. Dream Small. Now, he's talking about the reality that everything we do in our life impacts somebody. So try to get a grasp on it's not just about the big things. Your life is a part of God's destiny for you. And the impact that you're making day to day in someone's life is God's plan for your life. Look at the little things that you're doing. Look at the things that you're doing for your neighbors. Look at the ministry that you're doing. Listen, you are impacting the world right here from Meigs County here at Bethel because you sow seed. And we are supporting ministries all over the world that are ministering to children, feeding children, that's touching lives, that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, drilling wells in Africa, that's doing all kinds of things on a regular basis right here. You may not realize the impact that you're making in the world, but that's part of God's destiny for you. And yet, I don't believe it's the most important thing that you're doing. I believe the most important thing you're doing is your daily walk with the Lord. And what people see, what people recognize in you is the power of God. You know, we're all going to live. We're all born. Therefore, we're all going to die. It's going to happen. Unless Jesus comes back before we pass away, which I believe is a very good possibility. But we're all going to die. And you know, on people's tombstone, there's they were born, and then a dash, and then the date. You know, the most important part of that is the dash in between. It's your life. It's what you did. Now, For most of us, I think the epitaph should be, I expected this when it comes to our death. You better expect it. You know, you don't want to dwell on it. You don't want to get negative about it. But the reality is, I expect it. I know it's coming. Therefore, prepare yourself for that day. And the way you prepare yourself is to know Christ is your personal Savior, serve the living Father through Jesus Christ, and do the best you can do on the face of this earth. God is not condemning you for anything. He's on your side. He has good thoughts about you. He has good plans for you. All you have to do is accept them and walk in them. Let me share something with you, a sign that I saw on a building. Says this, talking about the way we think and how we need to change our thinking. Don't look, you might see. Don't listen, you might hear. Don't think, you might learn. Don't make a decision, you might be wrong. Don't walk, you might stumble. Don't run, you might fall. Don't live, you might die. Don't grow, you might change. Well, there's a lot of don'ts there, but it's basically telling you, if you live your life that way, the outcome of your life will be misery rather than what God has planned for you. Take a chance. Listen to what God's saying to you. He is speaking to you. He does speak. And He's using the Word. He's using other people. He's using this church. He's using me this morning to speak into your life so that you can recognize and grasp that God has a great plan for you, a plan to use you, a plan that encompasses Christ, that encompasses the Word of God, that encompasses a church, this church, we hope. You know, I'm not going to make any bones about it. I want you to come to this church. I want you to be a part of this church. I believe we have something good to impart to you that can change your life. Amen? But it encompasses a lot of things. But the Word of God will change you. I read a story some time ago about a military officer from Great Britain who was, he stopped by an island in the South Pacific. And when he stopped by there, a few years prior to this, the inhabitants were cannibals. And some brave missionaries came there and preached the gospel. And all that, the whole tribe, the chief and everyone accepted Christ as their Savior and changed their life. And they started reading the Bible and began to build a life of serving the living God. And this officer walked in one day, and the chief was there reading something. He said, "What are you reading?" And the chief said, I'm reading the Word. I'm reading the living Word of my God." And he said, "The Bible?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you don't understand. We have rejected that Word for that Bible, that book in our society. We no longer believe in that book. We think it's just a bunch of fables. If I was you, I'd just throw that book out." And the chief thought about it for a little while, and he said, "So you believe this book is no good, that I should throw it out?" He said, "Yes." He said, "This book has changed my life. I received Christ as my Savior. I read this book, and it's changed my life. You see, before I knew anything about this book, I would eat people like you. So what you're telling me is I should throw this book out and eat you." Wow. The Word of God can change your life. Changes everything about us. Thinking, our thinking has to change. That's right. We're going to be on the menu. Today, we're going to talk about spiritual principles that apply to fulfilling your destiny. And the first thing I want you to look at is you need to hear the voice of the Lord. You need to be receptive to God speaking to you. You have Holy Spirit living inside of you, and He speaks to you. He leads you. He guides you, and He directs you. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3. Now, this is Jesus actually speaking. The Apostle John is writing the words of Jesus speaking to him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you have an ear, you will hear the Spirit. If you have an inclination, if you have a desire to hear, you will hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. If you're a believer, you're here today, you're seeking the Lord. God's speaking to you. I believe that with all my heart. I believe Holy Spirit is stirring you to hear and understand what He wants you to receive from this message, receive from this service, receive from the words that have gone forth today. You've heard the Good Shepherd speak to you, and most likely you didn't hear an audible voice, right? Most of us do not. Now, sometimes people do hear an audible voice speak to them in particular situations. God does still speak in an audible voice to people. But most of the time, we hear. We hear and know. We recognize that voice. It's a process of learning to recognize the voice. Now, I know that the world that we live in tells us that we're crazy if we hear the voice of God. You know, the good example of that was Joy Behar, who said that our vice president, who says he speaks to the Lord and the Lord speaks to him, that's tantamount to a mental illness. You know, she doesn't understand. She is showing her ignorance of the Word of God because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He speaks to us. And, you know, I don't hold that against her because she just doesn't know. She is ignorant of God's Word. Now, people are telling her if she rejects it, that then, you know, that's on her. But she's being told that the Word of God tells us that God is going to speak to us. God wants to speak clearly so that we can understand. However, one of the things that we must understand that it's a process of learning to hear the voice. Not just to hear it, but to understand that God is speaking and understand what He's saying to us. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Samuel, Samuel was just a young man, a young boy, actually, when God called him. And one night he was sleeping, and the voice of God spoke to him. He got up, went into his master, Eli, and said, "You know, what do you want, master?" He said, I didn't say anything to you." This happened three different times. Finally, Eli told him, "You know, the next time, say, you know, what do you want, Lord?" So here's what I'm trying to say to you. Samuel, it was a process for Samuel to learn the voice of God. And in the end, Samuel became so in tune with the voice of God that when God said, "Go anoint the king David as king," he immediately went and did what the Lord spoke to him. He didn't question it. He didn't ask, "Is this really you, Lord?" He did say, "You know, I could get in trouble for this," because he had already anointed Saul because the people wanted Saul. But God's choice was David, And he listened, he went, he did. Now this is what it's all about. Hearing the voice of God, responding to the voice of God, and being obedient to the voice of God. That's our next point, is that it's very important that we're obedient. Okay, before we get there, got a couple of things to share with you about hearing the voice. When you hear the voice of God, you hear what God is saying to you, then you go to the Word of God and let the Word confirm what He's saying to you. And then once you hear the Word of God, you might get a prophecy, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, something that confirms what God has already spoke to you. Do not take someone else's word for what God wants you to do. You know, if somebody comes out of the left field and says, God says you're to go to Africa and be a missionary, do not jump on a boat and head to, or a plane or whatever, and head to Africa. God will speak to you first before He tells. The word, the prophecies, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all these things are meant to be confirmation of what God is speaking to your life. So listen to the Spirit of God. Let God walk you through that, confirm it through the Word, through the gifts, and also through circumstances. God will confirm His Word through a circumstance to show you that you're on the right track. How many have ever been there? You recognize, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, let me tell you a brief story about our past here as the church, Bethel. When I first started pastoring, it was South Bethel New Testament Church on Silver Ridge. As I was pastoring there, I started in 1995 as a pastor. Somewhere around 98, 99, we started having some pretty good growth, and then it just exploded around 2000. And we had so many people in that little country church that, you know, it just felt like the place was going to explode. The walls were going to explode. One day somebody came in and said, Pastor, there's so many people in here, the walls are bulging. And I believed it. I went out and looked. And, well, that, he was just joking, but the place was packed, and we got, and I'm not saying that to puff anybody up, myself or anybody else. Just, it was the Spirit of God moving, and things were happening. And as we continued to grow, we had just a small little lot up there. This church was built over 100 years ago, and the property was very small, so we knew we had to do something. So we made plans, and our plans were to build a church there on the hill. Now, we did that because there was some people that wanted to stay on that hill. I understood that. Their roots were there. Their family was a part of building that church. And I just said to God, you know, God, this is not necessarily my desire, but if this is your will, we'll go with it. So we made plans. We had plans drawn up to build there. We asked people in the community if they'd sell property to us. We had a couple people said yes, they would. So we were praying and seeking God. And as we did that, things were not happening. Nothing moved on in regards to being able to purchase some land. And as the time went on, I got wind from people in our congregation that the people who said they would sell land to us never intended to sell the land to us. Why? I have no idea. But it was just a deception for some reason. So we determined that, that was that God had other plans for us. If we can't buy property here, we have to do something. So we started praying, and I really believed that God spoke to my heart and said, a building is what you need. You need to do this. And then I was reading in Haggai, and I'll just read that to you real quick, what, what I received from this. Now, this may not mean anything to anybody else in regards to us building a building, but I was seeking God, and it spoke to me. It jumped out at me. It's Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations. They shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And to me, God was speaking and saying, I'm going to have a new place for you to worship in. And there will be greater glory there than what you've seen. And we saw some incredible things. We had some miracles take place. We saw God do incredible things. On Sunday mornings, we had the Spirit of God descend in such a way that people were running outside shouting and giving God glory and honor. And that same Sunday morning, we were to open the doors. Someone said, God said, open the doors. So we opened the doors, and Pastor Karen Davis, who was my assistant pastor at that time, she said that God spoke to her and said that the reason we were to open the doors because the Spirit of God was going out and we were to follow Him. Confirmation that God was leading us in a new direction. God, I'm sharing these things with you because I want you to know this is the way God works. This is how we understand and interpret God's will for our lives. Because God confirms it along the way. Then we said, okay, we know we have to purchase land. I went before the Lord. This was my desire. I wanted at least 5 acres on Route 7. Now, listen, if you've ever tried to buy land in Meigs County, you know there's few places on Route 7, 5 acres to purchase. But God showed us this. Hardly anybody even knew this was for sale. God showed us this. We were able to purchase. We did borrow the money for it. And then we had a one-day offering on a Sunday. We said, everybody come, give your offering. It's to pay off our property and prepare for the building of our new sanctuary. We had that one-day offering. The funds came in. We not only paid off, we had enough to pay off that building or this property, but we also had about $16,000 left over to start on the land, preparing this land for our new building. Now, I got to tell you, somebody stepped forward as we were preparing to do this and said, I will match the funds of anything that comes in. So we had a matching grant that matched everything that came in for that Sunday morning. And you know, listen, God confirms His word to us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we're still seeing God confirming His word in this church. It's not over. You know, we have not arrived. This building is awesome. But praise God, there is so much more to be accomplished in His kingdom in this area. My destiny is tied to this church. I know that. There's no doubt about it. But I've not arrived at my destiny. This building is just a part of that destiny. Glory. And if this building was taken away for some reason, it would not hinder the destiny that God has for me and you. Because it's not tied to this building. It's tied to God and the power of our living God and what He has for us. Wow. We've seen God do so many miracles. You know, when we had to start upgrading we've been here almost 13 years now, or we have been here 13 years. We started upgrading our heating system. And if you know anything about heating systems, you know it's expensive. We have, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different heating systems for this building. It's expensive to have to upgrade. Thousands and thousands of dollars. God has been faithful. He moved on the hearts of a couple different people to make large donations. He's moved on the hearts of the individuals in this congregation to give on a regular basis, where we are able to be able to upgrade as we go along. I'm telling you, it's amazing what God is doing financially in this church. And I want to make sure that I tell you that I make this perfectly clear. We do still need you to keep giving, okay? Don't think that, oh, everything's okay. We want you, but we ask you to do that because we believe in the Word of God, that your faithful giving will cause the faithful God that we serve to bless your life. And it blesses this church. I had one individual say to me one time, I was talking to him, and he said, I just want to know something. Who's backing your church? Who? I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, that church costs you a lot of money. It costs a lot of money to keep that church going. Who's backing you? I said, God. That's all. God and God's people. We don't have any one huge donator. We just have people of God that trust God, serve God, and believe in what we're doing. That, you know, he didn't believe me. I know he didn't. Because the world can't understand.
That's right. That's right.
But I got to tell you, it is a miracle that we are able to do the things that we do here at Bethel.
Amen.
I make no bones about it. It is God.
That's right.
But he's using you. Amen. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Matthew 11:15, Jesus said. Okay, the second thing is you must obey the voice. John chapter 15, Gospel of John. John chapter 15, or 14, I'm sorry. Verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will all do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said we can ask and we can expect and we can trust that the Father is going to answer our prayers. Now that's why I'm trying to encourage you this morning to recognize that God has awesome plans for you. He has established a destiny for you. And in that destiny, you have to hear his voice, obey it, and follow his leading and his direction. But always know this, that you have an awesome and mighty God that's on your side. He is with you. And the things that you are doing in your life are impacting the whole kingdom of God and impacting this world that we live in. It's a part of the kingdom work that God has for you. Therefore, you must seek the Father on a regular basis, seek his will, ask according to his will, and follow and believe that he is going to answer your prayers. His commandments are not a long list of do's and don'ts. His commandments are very simple. Jesus boiled it all down for us, and he said, this is what I command. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything that was written in the Old Testament, the law, the things that the prophets talked about, it's all fulfilled in those two things. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Isn't that simple? It seems to be pretty hard. As you look around this world, we're having a hard time fulfilling that call. Love God, love people. If we can walk in those two things, The power of God will be manifest in such a way people will fall down on their face and say, "What must I do to be saved?" I am convinced of that. Love God. Love people. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength." This is Old Testament. And then in Micah 6:8, it says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God." God's commandments are not a list of do's and don'ts. His commandments are a list of do's. Do love God. Do love people. But we have to be obedient. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, King Saul is sent to wipe out the nation of Amalek and their king Agag. He goes to do what God has called him to do, and he fails to do it. Samuel told him what to do. They went to do it, and instead of wiping out everything that he was told to, kill all the people, get rid of all the animals, kill the king. Now, I know it's hard for us to understand why God's mandate was to do such a thing, but it's not our place to question God. I believe there's good reasons for this. However, I don't want to go into any of that this morning. I just want you to understand that God commanded the king to do something. The king did not do it. He saved animals, the best of the animals. He allowed the king to live. He didn't kill him. And when Samuel showed up, Samuel said, "Did you do what I told you to do, what the Lord said to do?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, I did it all." How many times have you heard that from people who are not doing it all? "Yeah, I did it all." Well, what is it? Why do I hear these sheep bleating and the cows mooing? And he said, "Oh, well, the people." We always have to shift the blame, don't we? The people wanted to save the best animals to sacrifice to the living God. Samuel said, "You've done wrong. You've sinned. You didn't obey the word of the Lord." And here's what he tells him in verse 22. "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." It was better than some animal sacrifice to listen and obey the word of God. You know, there's a Bible school recently, Bible college. A teacher does this every year, and he takes a survey afterwards to find out what people were thinking. But he does a teaching on the Good Samaritan. And he teaches the story about the Good Samaritan, how the Jewish leaders walked by the guy that was beat up and almost killed by the robbers, and the Good Samaritan, and the Samaritan came along. Of course, Samaritans were hated by the Jews, so Jesus was using an illustration that they could not comprehend. The Good Samaritan came along, helped this guy, paid for his care and took good care of him, and said, "I'll pay for anything else that needs to be done." And Jesus made the point that this is the way we're supposed to live our lives. So he does this teaching. He does a few weeks of teaching on being a good Samaritan. And then at the end of the whole thing, he plants somebody outside of the place where they're having the class, not too far from it, where all the students would walk by, someone in need, to see how the students would respond to someone who had a need after being directly taught about being a good Samaritan. And what they found out was that some students would stop and help, other students would just keep on going. And after they did the survey with the students, they found out the one determining factor that caused people to either stop and help, no matter what they believed, to stop and help or not stop and help, was whether they were in a hurry to go someplace or not. If they were in a hurry, they didn't have time to help that person. If they had time, then they could help. That speaks volumes into our society, in our lives, into my life. How many times I've passed somebody along the highway that probably needed my help, but I was in a hurry to go somewhere. Sometimes I was in a hurry to go someplace to speak, someplace to minister, someplace to do something that I thought was the kingdom work. When reality, the kingdom work was right there along the road. Amen? This is a hard pill for us to swallow, I realize. We're busy people. But we've got to. We've got to set aside ourselves, our agenda, and recognize that the Lord has an agenda and a destiny that sometimes is fulfilled in things that we seem to think are not that important, but they are hugely important in the kingdom. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If you're going to fulfill your destiny, you must, number three, the last thing this morning I'm going to share with you, you must walk by faith. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We have to learn to walk by faith. We have to learn that this destiny that God has for us is a faith walk. For we walk by faith and not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians 5, 7. The Old Testament saints, particularly people like Abraham, had to walk by faith. And Abraham is considered a father of faith because many of the things that God told Abraham, he never saw them come to pass this side of glory. In his lifetime, they didn't come to pass, but they're being fulfilled even today through the promises that God gave him. But he walked by faith knowing that God would fulfill these things in his life. They lived to do, to perform, to fulfill the destiny that God had for them. That's the calling that we have. But we must do it by faith. I've had many opportunities in my life to walk by faith, and sometimes I made it. Sometimes I'd walk by faith and sometimes I didn't. But I want you to understand, it's a process as we learn and grow in the Lord. And if we make a mistake, let's learn from that mistake. Hey, I didn't walk by faith in that particular situation. I trusted my own instincts. I trusted somebody else's word. I didn't hear what God said. It's okay. We can step back and say, wait a minute. We're going to do better next time. We're going to pick ourselves up. We're going to move forward with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to do what God has called us to. But I have had some incredible times when faith just rose up inside of me. And I knew that I knew that I knew, without a doubt, that God was moving in an awesome way. One particular time I want to share with you, many years ago, Tammy and I, right after we were saved, after I got saved, I truly desired to do something for the kingdom of God. We were youth leaders, but I just had this thing inside of me, gnawing at me, that God had something more. So I looked around. I was looking to see what all God had for me, and in that particular time, I made some mistakes. I didn't walk by faith. God spoke to me and told me to do something or not do something, and I didn't do it. I walked according to somebody else's direction. And it made me miserable for a period of time. However, during that period of time, God opened a door, and I don't remember it was, whether it was Tammy's sister Jeannie or Linda Well, maybe it was both of them who worked at Children's Services at the time, told us that Children's Services had a job for house parents living in a home with abused and neglected children. So we, you know, we prayed about it and we thought, well, you know, we really feel like God is leading us in this direction. So we went and we did the interview with them to be house parents. And part of the interview was a psychological evaluation. How many have ever been psychologically evaluated? Okay, good. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. It can be a crazy thing to be psychologically evaluated, particularly when it comes to your Christian faith. Because if you, in a cycle, now this was my experience in this one. I was very, you know, I was very bold about my faith at that particular time. Now, I got to tell you something. I'm not always as bold as I'd like to be. I'm not trying to tell you I'm the boldest person in regards to faith that ever lived. Sometimes I miss the mark, and I pray for more boldness. I want to be bold for my Lord. I believe, I trust Him, but sometimes I just am not as bold as I should be. However, in this particular case, I knew without a doubt that my God was working on our behalf. And this, the gentleman that did the psychological evaluation also had a theological degree. He had a lot of biblical knowledge. But I want to tell you the difference between his biblical knowledge, which he had a vast amount of biblical knowledge, much more than I had at that time in my life. The difference between his biblical knowledge was it was head knowledge. Mine was heart knowledge. And as we did the interview, I was very forward with my faith in Jesus Christ. And at the end of the thing, the one thing that he told Children's Services was that he was concerned that, you know, we would be okay, but he was a little concerned about my fanatical religious beliefs, which I found that to be a little humorous. However, here's what happened. As we were doing the interview, at the end, you know, I told him I believe this was God's will for our life. And at the end of it, he said, well, what if I tell them that you're just not appropriate for this position? And something just rose up inside of me, and I said to this gentleman, I said, well, sir, if it's God's will, you can't stop it. Well, we worked there for 2 or 3 years. And my fanatical Christian beliefs, I truly believe, touched the lives of children and employees there at Children's Services. Because our living God, this was part, now I'm sharing this with you because it's just all part of the destiny that God has had for my life. Children's Services, operating an independent group home, becoming pastor, I'm fulfilling, I'm walking in the destiny. What you are doing today, you're walking in the destiny that God has for you. Up to this point in your life, you may have been or you may be directing your own destiny. But I want you to understand something. I'm here speaking to you today to confirm that God has a destiny for you, and He may be telling you that your destiny is in a different direction than you're going right now. Hear His voice, have it confirmed, and walk by faith. This is a very simple message. Walk by faith. Because your God is on your side. He will accomplish what He has placed in your heart. God has a destiny. Now, I want you to understand something. Your destiny may be tied to this church for the rest of your life. That's what I hope. As pastor, I want it to be that way. However, in reality, I know this, that your destiny may be tied to this church for a short period of time. And then God moves you on to something else, some other area. And as a pastor, I had to learn to accept that. We've had some awesome people come through this church, and their destiny was tied to this church for a period of time so that we could teach them, encourage them, lift them up, in some cases, heal them. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were healed, able to go on and be used by God. I can tell you a couple of them. Jim Evans, who came here, was here for several years, and now he's pastoring another local church here in the area. Did I want Jim Evans from a human perspective, from a pastor's perspective? No, I didn't want him to go do that. But that was God's destiny. I had to release him. Leland and Carol Close, another situation. Came here for a while, now moved on. You know, there's people that have done some incredible things. How about Bill and... yes, thank you. Cornell, thank you. They came here for a period of time, ministered, was a part of our church, and now they are missionaries in Africa. Wow. You know, praise God, we've had an impact, and we're still having an impact. We're supporting their ministry. I think it's just incredible what God is doing. Amen. And yet, I wish they were all still here. But it's not God's destiny. And I've got to tell you, God's destiny for you and for your life is more than you can comprehend right now. I don't know where I found this, but I found this quote, and I don't even know who said it. But it goes like this: dream no small dreams, for they stir not the hearts of men. Your dreams need to be big, audacious, in some cases even out of control. God will fulfill those. But along the way, do not forget how important these little things are that we're doing. How important it is to touch the life of your neighbor, to take them some food or do something for them that they can't do for themselves. Stop along the road and help the person that needs help. Take time to just talk to somebody that needs an ear, for somebody to listen to them. These are huge things in the kingdom. And one day when we stand before the Lord, the Word of God tells us that we are going to be rewarded based on our works as believers in Jesus Christ. Rewarded. And I believe that those little things that I'm talking about, we will be astounded by the rewards that are lavished upon us because we're obedient to be kingdom-minded every day of our life. Stand with me. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Another translation puts it this way, that he gives you a hope and a future. Doesn't matter what's happened in the past. God has a hope and a future. Your destiny is tied to God's plan for you. Not your plan, not the enemy's plan. God's plan for your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. It doesn't matter what has taken place in the past. People here this morning have heard and I hope they comprehend that you love them, you embrace them, and you have a greater plan for their life. That their service to you is a daily walk. Their destiny is tied to their everyday encounters, their everyday touching of other people. Today, Father God, we just praise you and thank you. as we go from this place this morning, that we will embrace the destiny that you have for us. We will fulfill it. We will walk in it. And no matter how small or how big it seems to us, we will accomplish your will, Father, for our lives. We thank you that you have a destiny for Bethel. You have a destiny for the people here. And Lord God, we just believe that you are stirring hearts and minds. We are trusting for an outpouring, a revival that will touch the hearts and minds of people everywhere. The people will be stirred to receive and walk in your will. Father God, today we just give you glory and honor as we leave this place. Help us to fulfill your destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.